This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
And I want to share around God's love for us through the sacrifice of His Son. That is why we are here today on a Friday. It is Good Friday because it's good news that what happened today is God took care of our sins. He took it away from us at great cost. Apart from ourselves, by grace, we could not earn it. We did not deserve it. We could not achieve it. So God did it all by Himself through sacrificing His Son for us so that we may have life. And that is why we're here today and we celebrate this day all over the world. If there should be a calendar, it should actually start on Monday, the new year. If we think about it, it's when the new covenant, the new life began for humanity. So as we, in one sense, drawing to a near the end and yet the beginning of the new covenant, the new life in Christ, it is an opportunity to reflect in what God did for us. And so 2,000 years ago, Jesus died on a cross, and His last words we find here in John 19 verse 13, or from verse 30. So when He had received the sour wine, He said, "It is finished." And then He laid down His head and gave up His spirit. When Jesus said it was finished, He was not speaking about His life. He was speaking about His purpose. "It is finished. I have come to do the will of the Father, and it is finished. I have accomplished His purpose." 3 years earlier, the day after John the Baptist baptized Jesus, the last and the greatest prophets of the Old Testament, the day after that amazing baptism and heaven opening up and God speaking about His Son and says, "This is My beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased," and the Holy Spirit came upon Christ, the day after this great prophet of the Old Testament, the last prophet of the Old Testament, stood up, and when he saw Jesus, we read in John 1 verse 29, the next day John saw Jesus coming towards him. He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." What a powerful statement of the old God, the old prophets, speaking about Christ, the fulfillment. Jesus' purpose was to take away the sin of the world. And so Christ accomplished this by fulfilling the law and the prophets through dying on a cross as a sacrifice for our sins. In Matthew 5 verse 17, Jesus says, "Do not think that I've come to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy them, but to fulfill them, because they were all speaking about Me. They were all foretelling My coming, My life, My death, and My resurrection." The prophets were declaring that the Messiah would come to save humanity. Jesus fulfilled that. The law not only declared what sin is, it also declared what the consequence of sin is: death, eternal separation from God. And Jesus did not just fulfill the law by keeping the law perfectly. He fulfilled the law by dying for sin perfectly. He fulfilled the law not just in keeping it, but also accomplishing and fulfilling the requirements and the consequence for sin when He became sin. He became sin perfectly, and He was, God poured His wrath upon Him perfectly. And He was the perfect sacrifice. The law not only declared what sin was, it also declared that there is a way of escape. A sacrifice can be made on our behalf. If you sinned, you could go to the temple, and before the priest, you can bring your sacrifice. Lay your hands upon it. Confess your sin in the presence of God and the priest, and in your presence, that sacrifice would be killed. so that you can see the consequence of sin, which is death. And then John stood up and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." Jesus not only kept the law perfectly, he paid the price, the consequence of sin perfectly. The law and the prophets were all pointing towards Jesus and his death and his sacrifice for our sins. And so we read in Hebrews chapter 10 from verse 1, "For the law, having a shadow of the good things to come, not the very image of these things, can never by these sacrifices which they offered continually year by year make those who approach perfect. For then they would not have ceased to be offered. For the worshippers once purified would have had no more consciousness of sin. But in those sacrifices there is a reminder of sins every year. For it is not possible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins." It is not possible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. "Therefore, Christ, when he came into the world, said to the Father, 'Sacrifices and offerings you did not desire, because it could not take away the sin of the world, so you prepared a body for me.' In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sins you had no pleasure. Then I said, 'Behold, about me to do your will, O God.'" Previously saying, "Sacrifices and offerings, burnt offerings and offerings for sins you did not desire, nor did you have pleasure with them, which are offered according to the law." And then he said, "Behold, I have come to do your will, O God." He takes away the first and he established the second, that by the will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. "And every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God, and from that time waiting until his enemies are made his footstool. For by one offering he has perfected forever those who have been sanctified." Jesus came to become the perfect Lamb, the perfect sacrifice that will satisfy God's righteousness, holiness forever. He came in the flesh to become that sacrifice. He became sin for us and was killed on our behalf once and for all. It is finished. It is finished. Once and for all, for every sin, it is finished. It is finished. John stood up and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." Of course, speaking of the Passover, when the lamb was first sacrificed so that the people of God could not just be set free, but that the judgment that came to every house would be passed over. And so Israel was set free from Egypt through the sacrifice of a lamb, the Passover lamb. The weekend on which Jesus was crucified was Passover, because he came to fulfill the law. So he became the lamb that was sacrificed for the people of God to be set free from Egypt, the bondage of sin and the power of sin. And so in the Passover, Israel had to take a lamb, a perfect lamb, kill the lamb, take the blood of the lamb, smear it on their doorpost. They had to have faith in the blood of a lamb to put it on their doorpost. And whoever had faith in that blood, when judgment came, it was passed them over. And so Christ became that lamb, so that whoever had faith in his blood, who were to apply his blood through faith in their lives, will also be passed over when judgment comes, but have everlasting life. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." We know that so well. This Passover gave the people of God freedom from sin and the slavery of sin, but they had to have faith in the blood. Then also, very interestingly, not only did you need to have faith in the blood of a lamb, and this is what I believe the Lord is laying in my heart for us for today, is you had to eat its flesh. You had to eat the flesh of this lamb that you sacrificed for your family, in whom you put your faith in its blood to smear it on the doorpost. After you've killed this lamb, you had to eat its flesh. You had to eat the flesh of the lamb with the unleavened bread, and then you had to get out of Egypt. You had to get out of the land of sin. You had to get out of the land of bondage. You had to have faith in the lamb, then you had to eat the flesh, and then you had to get out of Egypt. And so we read in Exodus 12, verse 8, it says, "Then they shall eat the flesh on that night, roasted in fire with unleavened bread, and with their bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat it raw or boiled at all with water, but roasted in fire, its heads with its legs and its internals. You shall let none of it remain until morning, and what remains of it until morning you shall burn with fire. And thus you shall eat it, with your belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. You shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. You shall eat it in haste, because you must leave Egypt. For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. Against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass you over, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt." I want to ask the ushers to hand out for us communion. Because on this day, the lamb was sacrificed for us. And God is saying, you must eat its flesh. For those who have faith in the sacrifice, you must eat his flesh also. And you must do it in haste. With your belt and your cloak and your sandals on your feet and the staff in your hand, you shall eat it standing, to be ready to leave Egypt. And so Jesus said to them in John 6, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on that last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. As the living Father sent me and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever." Today we celebrate God's grace for sacrificing his Son, so that whoever has faith in that sacrifice, faith in the blood, will be passed over. But I believe God is saying to us, we must also eat the flesh and leave Egypt. You have to eat it in haste, with your sandals on your feet and your staff in your hand. You have to be ready to leave Egypt. If you do not want to be a slave, you have to leave Egypt and never go back. If you want to be free, you have to leave Egypt and never go back. Those who wanted to go back to Egypt, died in the desert, and never saw the promised land. God gave us His Son to set us free from the world and the sin in it. Today we have an opportunity to respond to that sacrifice again. God is saying to us, eat it in haste, with your sandals and your staff in hand, ready to leave Egypt, the world, and all its sin. It is a radical faith to follow Jesus, and it is a decision to leave Egypt, to leave the world. How do we apply this in our lives? How should we respond to the sacrifice that God has made for us? Well, in Acts 2, verse 37 to 38, we read, now when they heard this, when they heard the gospel, this is after the death and the resurrection of Christ and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and Peter stood up and he shared the gospel, the good news, that God has sent His Son to die for each one of us, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. The gospel He shared. And then as the people heard, they responded. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And then Peter said to them, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Oh, and you will have life that you have never imagined. Life in His Spirit as He leads you to the promised land. But you must have faith, and then you must leave Egypt. That is repentance. That is baptism. You must have faith in God, and as you turn from the world, you must be ready to leave it and never go back. Because you will never get to the promised land if you remain in Egypt. And if you leave Egypt and you keep on going back, you will die in the desert. You must have faith. It's a radical faith in Jesus. It is a repentance, a turning away from the world. You must be ready to leave Egypt. That's the power of baptism. The power of baptism is when we die to Egypt. It's when Paul says the Israelites were all baptized through the Red Sea. Oh, they were set free, but while they were still in Egypt, the power of Pharaoh, his army, could go after them, and they were only cut off finally from Egypt when they went through the Red Sea. You know what baptism is? It's when you say to the devil, it's over. I've been in Egypt long enough. I'm getting out. My old man is dying with Christ. This is a death, a burial, but it's also a resurrection. I am now a new creation, a new identity in Christ. The old man you're looking for is dead. I am no longer in Egypt. This morning we have an opportunity again to reflect on this great sacrifice that God has given us. An opportunity to eat His flesh and drink His blood in faith. Apply it to our lives. But today I believe God is also asking you and me, are we ready to leave Egypt? Eat it in haste and leave Egypt. Leave the world behind and all the sin in it. And if you're here this morning and you have faith in this sacrifice and in the love of God, I want to encourage you, if you've not been baptized yet, get yourself baptized. Do it in haste. Get ready to leave the world, old life, and follow Him. cut everything off from the past. All that, what keeps you here and what identifies you with it. Do it in haste. And then follow Jesus. And He will lead you. He will lead you to the promised land, where there is life, where there is abundance, where there is joy and peace. But you have to leave Egypt. You have to leave Egypt. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank You for this day. We want to thank You that we can stand here because of Your love for us and this great sacrifice that You have made for us. God, You loved us so much, You did not want us to die in Egypt. So You sent a Savior to save us. You sent Your Son, Your only Son, to become the perfect sacrifice that will set us free from sin once and for all, that will break the power of sin and the bondage of sin so that we can follow You to the promised land. But God, today I thank You not just for Your grace, but this opportunity, Lord, to partake of that sacrifice through Your body and through Your blood. And Lord, this morning as we come together and we celebrate this great love that we have, this grace towards us, Lord, I pray for each and every one of us, Lord, that we will reflect on where we are. That we will not just partake of Your flesh, eat of Your flesh, and drink of Your blood, but that we will have our sandals on our feet and our staffs in our hands, Lord, and that we'll be ready to follow You as You lead us away from this world into Your purpose, into Your kingdom. Lord, so this morning as we are here, Lord, I want to give each and every one of us an opportunity just to reflect first and foremost on the sacrifice that You have made for us and our faith in it. But secondly, also on our readiness, our willingness to leave Egypt and to follow You. So I want you just to take a moment before we eat together and drink together, just to reflect on God's word for us today. Lord, today I want to thank You for Your body that was broken for us. Lord, You were perfect, and yet You became sin for us so that the punishment, the curse that we deserved will not come upon us but pass us over, because it will remain on You. Lord, we remember that this sacrifice came at a cost. It was not something that cost You little. Nor was it light, this burden, this cross, my sin to carry. We see it in the garden as You pleaded with the Father, my Father, if it is at all possible, take this cup away from Me. Nevertheless, Father, not My will be done, Your will be done. And so, Lord, today we reflect and we thank You. We thank You, God, for this great sacrifice that You've made for us. Oh, Lord, and we confess that we believe that You are the only way to the Father, because You're the only sacrifice that satisfies the Father completely. You're the only perfect one. And so, Lord, today we partake of the sacrifice. We choose to confess it, to believe it, to take hold of it. As we eat this bread, as we eat Your flesh, so that we may have Your life that it brings. In Jesus' name, let's eat together. Lord, we thank you for your blood that was shed for us, that washes us clean. No matter how sinful we've been, no matter how great and how often our sin has been, thank you, God, that it is only by the blood of the Lamb that we are washed clean. Thank you, God, that we can take this cup that is your blood that was shed for us, and we can apply it to our lives. Lord, as we drink this cup, Lord, we drink your salvation and our faith in it. Thank you, God, that it is by grace through faith that we can stand before your holy, pure, and blameless, perfect, once and for all. And no, it's finished. It's done. We thank you for this cup that we may drink together in Jesus' name. But today, as we continue in this attitude of prayer, there are some of us here. You need to leave Egypt. You need to eat this flesh in haste, ready to leave. And I don't know who you are. Maybe we all can reflect on this. If God has been speaking to you of areas in your life, or maybe you have turned away from God, or maybe you've never turned to God, God is saying, I have paid the price for you. I have given my son for you so that you can be free. But you must leave Egypt. And if that is you this morning, I want you to do something bold. If the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, I want you to respond to God by standing, saying, yes, God, I thank you for your sacrifice. I'm ready to leave. I want to leave the world behind. I want to leave Egypt behind. If that is you this morning, I want you to stand before God. Say, God, yes, here I am. I'm ready to leave. I'm ready to leave. If that is you, just respond. You might not know where you're going. He will lead you there. He said, I'll take you to the desert and I will lead you to my promised land. If that is you this morning, I want you to respond. This is an opportunity for you. Maybe it's like Abram. Maybe you do not know where God is calling you. God did not call Abram to a land that he knew. He did not give him the coordinates. He says, I want to call you from your family, from your country, from everything you know, and I want to take you to a country I will show you. And Abram responded in faith. Maybe that is you today. You need to respond in faith. Maybe you don't even know where God is going to lead you. But this is your day, this is your moment, this is why Christ came to this earth. If that is you, just respond. Thank you for your faith, for those who are doing this. And there's some of us, you know, there are still stuff that you are longing for in this world. You are still longing for stuff in this world. God is saying, let it go. Let it go. If that is you, you will find freedom in letting it go. And I want to encourage you to respond to God by just standing. It's going to set you free as you let go of the things in this world that draws you back. Time and again, God is calling you to let it go. And there's some of us here today, God is calling you to make a decision, a radical decision, to follow him. A radical decision. You're going to cut away from your culture. You're going to cut away from your family. You're going to cut away from everything through baptism. And you've been reasoning this out of your mind. You've been giving all the reasons why you shouldn't make this step. But I can tell you what it's about. It's not about your culture. It's not about whether you've been baptized as an infant. It's not about what your parents might think or your friends might think. It's about what God thinks. Jesus was the Son of God. He had no sin. He had no need to prove himself. But he said, so that all righteousness may be fulfilled, I will get myself baptized. John, you baptize me so that I can set the example for my people to follow. If that is you, this is your challenge this morning. You need to get yourself baptized, maybe you need to stand today too. Say, yes, Lord, I will give you everything. If that is you, just respond. I know there's somebody. Thank you for your boldness. Thank you for your boldness. If there's something God has been speaking to you, you haven't responded yet, I'm going to give you another opportunity to stand now. This is freedom. This is freedom. Yes, you might think, what are people going to think? It's not about people today. It's not about people. It's about you and God. But Father, I want to thank you for this day, Lord. I want to thank you, Lord, for each and every person that is responding, God. I want to thank you, Father, for the boldness, Lord, that they have, Lord. But it's not about their boldness, Lord. It's about your sacrifice and your purpose, your gift that you have given for whosoever, whosoever wants it bad enough. Lord, I thank you, God, for setting people free this morning, Lord. I thank you for the lives that will be changed this morning, Lord. I thank you for every person that are not ashamed to stand up before you. You say in your word, Lord, that if you are not ashamed of me in this crooked generation, neither will I be of you before my Father. And so, God, I thank you, Lord, for the boldness and the faith, Lord. I thank you for deliverance, Lord. I thank you for new life, Lord. I thank you for new boldness, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that they will not just see the Red Sea open, Lord. They will see water come out of the desert, Lord. They will see bread come from heaven, Lord, and meat provided, Lord. But more than that, they will see the Jordan open before them, Lord, and enter into the promised land. They will see giants fall, cities crumble, Lord, and your kingdom come, Lord. I just speak it over every person that has responded this morning, and I thank you for this. We thank you, Lord, that we can continue to follow you, always knowing that it is finished. It is finished. We only need to follow you now. The land is already ours. You have given the promised land. Nothing can keep it from us. Lord, give us the faith and the boldness to hold on to it until we see you again, face to face. In Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to close with a song. And let's just worship God and thank Him for the sacrifice, the provision that He has made for us, and the freedom that we have. And let us continue to always partake communion with our sandals and our staffs in hand, ready to continue to follow Him wherever He leads us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let us just stand.
Let's sing
and let us worship God.
Revelation song, verse from verse 2, clothed in rainbow.
Jesus, your name is power.
Father, thank you that we can go in your love and in your grace, knowing, God, as we follow you, you are always with us. You will never leave us. You will never forsake us, God, because you've already paid for us. You have paid the price for our lives. And God, we thank you that you've already proven to us how much you love us. God, help us not to fall for the deception and the lies of the devil, that we are not loved, not welcome, not good enough. Thank you, God, that you've already done it for us. And once and for all, it is finished. So that we can follow you where you lead us. God, give us the boldness to continue to do that wherever you go. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.